would please come to order at 17 minutes to 2. Let the record show that Representative Miller, Representative Springer, Representative Hudson,
Boucher.
Representative Boucher, have joined us. We have before us a bill, HB 437. We're hooked up for teleconference. It's okay. And we probably need to limit the time on the teleconference. However, I think we can probably get through everyone who wishes to speak on it. First, I'd like to have Representative Frank explain his bill to the committee and have those people on teleconference listen in, and then I'll start calling on witnesses. Representative Frank.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First of all, let me thank you for hearing the bill this afternoon. To give you some background on the bill, first of all, this idea to name this new section of the road after Bob Mitchell came forward about 2 years ago, and there was a bill sponsored. I sponsored a bill in the House, and Senator Coghill sponsored a bill in the Senate to name this section of the road after Mr. Mitchell because of his pioneering efforts and efforts in developing that end of town, what's now where the primary industrial area of the town is located. And it seemed appropriate to honor a lifelong Alaskan, Fairbanksan, that had done a lot to develop that area of town. The legislation went along for a long time and actually almost became law, but I became concerned that Fairbanks have a greater opportunity to express their feelings on the bill. We had had one hearing in Fairbanks, and we had a good show of support for the naming at that point, but because of some concern expressed by members of the community, particularly Nancy Baker, she pointed out the concern about naming a section of a road different from another section of the road. And so I wanted to explore that a little bit further to see the validity of that concern and to develop more of a consensus in the community. I was the people that have expressed the support have gone to the trouble of getting positive resolutions from the city, from the Chamber of Commerce, and from the South Fairbanks Business Association expressing support for the naming. So I feel that there has been a greater opportunity, and this, of course, this hearing offers additional opportunity for the public to express their feelings on the issue. Personally, I think it's a good idea. I acknowledge the concern about naming a road, that could be considered all one road and that sort of thing. I certainly acknowledge that that's a valid concern. I still think that it's not overwhelming, that concern should not stop, doesn't outweigh the desire to recognize a pioneer that did a lot for the area. And with that, I would just turn it over to see if there's any questions of the committee members.
Are there any questions, committee members, to the sponsor?
May I comment?
Mr. Boucher.
I knew Bob Mitchell. I knew Bob Mitchell when I first came to Alaska. He's one of the finest men that I have known, and I've seen a lot of things named for people. This was a guy that fought hard for the construction of our roads, for the construction of anything that would make transportation. Betty, I don't know if you know him or not. He didn't. He's your kind of person. He just didn't ask why or how, but it took his own business's resource and what have you. And I had a previous meeting, but I came down to make sure that I got my comments. And I can't think of a better name for a road in that community than to have it named after Bob Mitchell. And he didn't stop just building. He built a family. In fact, I would say if I had to look back in the flood years, when we were pulling out of the flood, in those months, every place you looked, there was Bob Mitchell, this young man's dad, Harvey Marlin, just helping people and rallying to put our town back together. So they're a special breed that made Fairbanks the Golden Heart City, you know, a city at that time that cared more than for just wealth, a city that cared for its people. So I wholeheartedly endorse the thing.
All right, thank you, Representative Boucher. Representative Springer?
I also have known Mr. Mitchell. I've been with DOT for 20-some years and, of course, worked with Gem Company, and I can just echo the comments from Representative Boucher. I had some concerns about the question about naming a segment of an existing highway in name of somebody, and I don't think I would support that principle in an open highway between communities, but when you get within an urban area, or in case of Fairbanks, the second biggest city, that is not unprecedented. As a matter of fact, in large metropolitan areas, you see that all the time. And there are, of course, even in Alaska, a lot of examples. For example, connecting the Steez Highway with the Richardson, that you can go through several routes directly in Fairbanks. There is not a continuous route Steez to Richardson. It spreads out into Noble Street and other urban streets. And the same thing can be said for the Parks Highway. The Parks Highway comes in down near Geist Road in the town, and then if that is called at that point within the municipality another name, you can go down Airport Road, or you can go down the Mitchell Expressway, and ultimately you get down to the Richardson Highway. So I don't see it really that it is in a very narrow sense of the subject that it is the Parks Highway. I had some reservations, but the more I thought about it, I didn't think that was an unprecedented and unusual thing. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Springer. Let's go then to Fairbanks and talk to Roger Burns.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Roger Burns. I've lived in Fairbanks for more than 25 years. Good to hear Representative Boucher. He and I were doing the same sorts of things, digging out of the flood out at the airport. What triggered my interest in this proposal was that during the recent holiday season, I had occasion to be in the Los Angeles area, driving around that large town and trying to figure out where I was going. And it's difficult for a stranger in town to keep up with local place names. I got confused with all the Santas and got into wrong towns. And generally, I think that it's difficult for a person to keep track when the name of a road changes. Now, the idea of naming a road, let's look at what this highway does. It crosses Geist Road, it crosses Pegger Road, it crosses Lathrop Street, it crosses Cushman Street. All those roads are named for somebody, and I think people around Fairbanks know Geist, Pegger, well-known names. But as far as Representative Frank's thinking that this of the highway changing names is not overwhelming, I really think it is overwhelming. Nothing happens at the Airport Road overpass. The road does not get wider or narrower. The speed limit doesn't go up or down. The road doesn't curve for somebody coming from out of town. The overpass over Airport Road looks just like the overpass over the Chena River. the idea of naming highways chronologically would be disastrous if we followed it. I think that most of you will remember that the Parks Highway wasn't built in one fell swoop. When the bridge at Healy was completed, we didn't name a section of it for somebody. When the bridge at Hurricane Gulch was completed, we didn't name a section for somebody else. It is a piece of highway that runs from an intersection down by Palmer, and I think it should run to an intersection up by Fairbanks, and the Airport Road overpass is not an intersection. And I do not want to give the impression that I have nothing but the highest regard for this individual and the wish that he be honored in some way, but this brought to light something that happened in Seattle when the longtime senator from the state of Washington, Henry M. Jackson, Scoop Jackson, died a few years ago. People wanted to honor him and changed the name of the airport in Seattle to the Henry M. Jackson Memorial Airport. They did it with the best of intentions, wanting to honor a man who had done a great deal for the state, but the name didn't stick. I think if any of you have been through the SeaTac Airport in Seattle, you'll discover that it's the SeaTac Airport. The name only lasted for about 6 months. I think that if, and I am all for honoring Mr. Mitchell, and I think that if his friends and supporters were really seriously about giving a long-time, lasting, permanent, meaningful memorial to Mr. Mitchell, that they would not name this little stub of the Parks Highway for him, because I'm afraid that the same thing is going to happen to this little change as happened to the Henry M. Jackson Memorial Airport. It won't be supported, and it'll just drift away. And so, by all means, let's honor the man, but I think that this is the wrong vehicle in which to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Our next witness is, are there any questions of Mr. Burns from the committee? Representative Springer.
Yeah, would you feel more comfortable if it starts with the intersection where the four lane starts down near Geist Road?
That is more of a landmark at the moment. There's a traffic light there. At least it's a landmark, but what happens if we widen the road? Or what happens if another traffic light goes in? No, I think we're at dead ends. Where it comes to a T, where you can't go any further, where it's obvious that you have to either turn left or turn right to get off the road, that's the place that you should get off the road. You shouldn't get off the road in the middle of a straight stretch.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, if you have a clear cut case like outside Wasilla, you know, where the old Glen and the Parks Highway come together, you've got a very defined deal. But where the Parks Highway kind of slides into the Richardson, you know, with those modern expressways, we don't even have a T there either. It's, if I've seen a design right and what they're doing down there on the south end intersection with the Richardson, it's a stopless configuration. So we don't have, in all of Fairbanks, we don't have a situation like we have down there at the Wasilla intersection where it is a regular T intersection. But you're right, you know, we're never staying stagnant. We look back on the highway system in 1960 in Fairbanks and we look at it now, there's no resemblance. So you're right, so maybe in 5-10 years we're going to have a four lane out to Hester or something. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions from the committee, or statements or questions from the committee? All right, Gary Wilkin. Oh, excuse me, Representative Pierce wanted to say something to Mr. Burns.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Actually, it's not just to Mr. Burns, but it's my understanding that the part of the highway we're talking about naming is new construction. I know certainly that Cloverleaf, being the biggest Cloverleaf in the state, is new construction, and the highway over to the Rich is new construction. And in fact, part of it's my understanding is not even completed yet. If we were naming something like the SeaTac Airport that's been there for 40 years and trying to change the name of that, or like the vast amount of confusion and dismay when we talked about renaming Ninth Avenue in Anchorage last year, I can understand the concern there, but I don't think the people of Fairbanks have gotten used to calling this particular portion of this road anything yet. So it will be fairly easy for them to get used to calling it the Mitchell Expressway rather than calling it the South Bypass or something. So I don't think that it's as much a concern as it would be if we were trying to change a long-standing name.
I just have to say that the signs are already up, marking the Parks Highway where the new construction is.
Sounds
Thank you, Mr. Burns. Mr. Wilkin?
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Gary Wilkin, 2600 Riverview Drive, Fairbanks. I'd like to submit my feelings on Bob Mitchell. I'll do that written form. I can't say much more than what Representative Boucher has said. I agree 100% with Red. Also, I'll submit, as part of the testimony, the editorial that appeared in 1980 in the Fairbanks Daily Newsliner. I agree 100% with that, and would hope that it's part of the representative's package. There's not much else for me to say other than Bob was a great man that touted Fairbanks long before there was oil and long before there was state grants, those kind of things. He did it through sweat and by providing inspiration. And for that reason, I feel that this particular part of town should have some lasting significance. So I'll submit this to the LIO as the editorial, as my feelings in written form. Let me say that the issue may come down to whether we should name a particular part of the road after a particular person. I find nothing objectionable whatsoever to provide 4 miles of direction to those folks that happen to live in Fairbanks. A Beltline Road is nothing new to anywhere in the United States, and that's exactly what this is. The Parks Highway feeds Fairbanks from Anchorage, the Skeets from the northwest, and the Richardson from the southeast. I find nothing wrong with giving address specific, something called the Bob Mitchell Expressway. It identifies a 4 mile section of road that has nothing to do with the Parks Highway that is a 360 mile road that leads out of town. For that reason, I find no confusion whatsoever. It connects two significant physical points, both being major overpasses that one would have to recognize that they are passing over or under. So the idea that this is that there's no transition is not invalid in my mind, and I wholeheartedly support the representatives of passing the said bill in memory of a great Fairbanks and then a great Alaskan. For that to pass through that part of town that was so instrumental in developing and for Fairbanks and its citizens is perfectly appropriate in my mind and does nothing to confuse our tourists. And indeed helps those folks that live here and those that visit. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wilkin. Are there any questions to Mr. Wilkin? If not, then we'll go on to Cecilia Hunter.
Betty, my name is Celia.
Oh, excuse me.
L-I-A.
I see it.
I'm not a saint. I am in opposition to the legislation to change the name to the Robert J. Mitchell Expressway. I don't have anything against Mr. Mitchell. I'm sure he was a most estimable man. I'm sure that he probably did a great deal for development of transportation in the Fairbanks area. But I do object to taking a small segment of road out of the section between the Richardson Highway and the Parks Highway and renaming it simply to honor him when we could do much better in other ways, as far as I'm concerned. I think the naming of geographical items for people can be carried to absurdity. And I think one of the things I've noticed around is that for a while they were trying to name a lot of mountains here in Alaska. We've got a lot of unnamed mountains. And one woman was trying to name it after her particular cosmetic. She was a cosmetic salesman. Fortunately, there's a board of geographical names that governs the naming of geographical entities like that. As far as confusion is concerned, I can only say that I have been totally confused in places like Boston. You mentioned that there are places all over the United States where this happens. Well, it does. But if you're a stranger and you are driving through a place like Boston, and all of a sudden the name changes to something else and somebody of your friends has forgotten to tell you that there's this section of highway that goes that way, I've ended up in a good many miles from where I wanted to be on my way in and out of Boston trying to find just because I couldn't follow the routing that were there. And I think the fact that these signs are already in place on the Parks Highway, that it would cost a fair amount of money, which could be much better used for a lot of other purposes, to change them. It just in order to name this small section of highway for Mr. Mitchell, I'm sure if you ask him, he might object also. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? If not, let's go on then to Ginny Hillwood.
Yeah, Ginny Hillwood, 1819 North Fox Trail. I've lived in Fairbanks for 41 years now,
And just recently, well, about a couple years ago, remember, all of you that live in Fairbanks, remember we went through a great deal in making a lot of us who have been on a road for decades having to change it because they had a new idea and a regulation that there shouldn't be, the name should not change. And maybe the homesteader roads did because it was named after different people for different things that went on down the road. That probably was a good idea, but we had to change our addresses on everything and get all our mail is still coming to the wrong, you know, they're sending it back because they don't have the proper name that we changed it to. And so now we're talking about taking and doing this to a major highway. And I agree with the people that have preceded me that have said that this particular expressway should be continue as the Parks Highway, particularly when there is another road by the name of Mitchell. This is another thing we weren't supposed to do, is to duplicate names. And I think, I may be wrong, but I believe it was named after the same Mr. Mitchell, which is fairly nearby. It's a very short road in the area. I would, as I said, I don't want to demean or to detract from this man. I respect what he's done for the community and so forth, and I would suggest that who is going to know about Mr. Mitchell as a newcomer coming in and just wants to get over to the Evan Parks Highway to get into Fairbanks or to go on down the Richardson or the Cease. But a plaque or a pocket park or something along the way that was named for him, and it wasn't another road that was named Mitchell, what are we going to do, take away that other Mitchell name and get another one? It would be better. And I just feel that this is not consistent to what what we just got through doing, is getting rid of duplications of names or having names changed to another name and when it was essentially the same road. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Ms. Wood? All right. Let's go on then to Alaska.
My name is Alaska Link. I live at 666 10th Avenue, and I am over a 60-year resident of Fairbanks. I'm here today to recommend that you continue the Parks Highway name to the point where it connects with the Richardson Highway south of Fairbanks. There are several reasons for my request. First, as a driver of many years, it is far simpler to have clear directions on the highway rather than having name changes in small increments. If asked, I'm sure the Highway Patrol would agree that simplicity in road directions is desirable. Secondly, Fairbanks Tourism has advertised our town as the Golden Heart. What better advertisement could there be than Golden Heart on the tourist maps, showing the convergence of the Richardson Parks and Cease Highways? Third, savings could be affected if there were not multiple changes of highway signs. Plus extra map designations, which would be necessary. Fourth, the naming of the highways honored three very great men, Wiles P. Richardson, James Gordon Steese, and Governor George Parks, all famous engineers and prominent men. To interject the name of a lesser person is to dilute the original honor of the naming. This should not be an open door for similar namings throughout the state on our major highways. This brings me to the reason for this particular hearing today, which I received through a notice, an ad in the paper last night and the night before. This ad promoted the Mitchell Highway, which incidentally could not be an expressway due to its length and frequent off-ramps. It quoted an 8-year Newsminer editorial which advocated the naming of a highway for Bob Mitchell, a popular young man who died some years back. At the time, there were three routes considered. One was the Van Horn Road, incidentally, where the Gem Construction Company, of which Bob was a partner, was located. One was 30th Avenue and another on 23rd Avenue. Bob has a racetrack and another street named for him, which seems sufficient. But since the Gem Company, which owns our so-called Metro Field, and also this is a Gem Country is a consortium of which Bob Mitchell is a partner, they have operated small aircraft off of what is known as the Metro Field. What better deal would be to name it for Mitchell as the Mitchell Airstrip or the Mitchell Airfield? right on their own location, right on Van Orn. I have the greatest respect for Bob, his parents and present family, but believe that to name a portion of a major highway would be wrong. Let's keep it simple with the Richardson, Parks, and Steese Highway. I urge you to defeat House Bill number 437. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lane. Any questions, committee? If not, let's go on then to Nancy Baker. Nancy Baker, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. This is Nancy Baker, 49 Timberland Drive in Fairbanks. I have a couple of comments on some of the things that you people down there said. Senator Frank, there was a meeting here held 2 years ago in April with Coghill had a hearing. That hearing, by the way, did have opposition. But he did not choose to report that there was any opposition to the people in Juneau, and I was one of the three people that gave opposition. And I did go down to the legislative teleconference the next night, and before I was able to speak, which is customary, I guess the person on Juneau speaks, and Mr. Coghill said he was rather jubilant with the meeting that he had in the Fairbanks, because it was all in favor of naming the new section of the highway, the Robert J. Mitchell Expressway. And of course, I was listening to that and waiting to get my turn in and talk to him. And I said, you know, I was there, and that wasn't all for Robert J. Mitchell. I just wanted to make it clear that there had been opposition. I wasn't the only one. Steve also said he wanted to explore the validity of the concerns I had. You know, the validity isn't within me. It's within the concerns I had, and I think they speak for themselves. And they're spoken by almost everyone in town. Except the people who belong to the Friends of Robert J. Mitchell, a group who's sponsoring this, I might add, because I've done a lot of exploring. Also, the mention was that the concerns don't seem overwhelming. I think they're overwhelming, and even if they weren't, the problems have to be that big before they're addressed. People have said it's not unprecedented to name different portions of a highway as they go through town. Yes, it's not unprecedented. We all know that. We've been confused by it when we go to the state, and that's why we're urging you not to do it here. Two or three or a dozen rights don't make a wrong. And I just wanted to say that. Referring to the testimony that the people expressed at the meeting that Coghill had several years ago, and the testimony expressed at the borough assembly when they were asked to pass a resolution, expresses public concern for this highway. And the opinions are all derived because of confusion. That's the one word everybody has in common. And the only answer you people have had is that we would soon get used to it, or there wouldn't be confusion. Of course, our Alaskan people might get used to it, but the visitors don't have a chance to get used to it. The interests that you people have who are wanting to call this are strictly personal, and we must face this. They are personal friends that want to do this. And I've read and reread the reasons you want to do it. The reasons are fine, but they have nothing to do with the price of bananas, the person might say. They have nothing to do with naming a highway after someone. There is a Mitchell Avenue, by the way. It's less than a half a mile from the new proposed Mitchell Parkway. Wouldn't that be nice? You see the Mitchell Avenue on the right as you leave the past Safeway on University Avenue, and then you come to Robert J. Mitchell Expressway. I might say that there are at least a dozen signs that have been up already, and the ones that are not up, the signs, by the way, are at University Avenue. They've been up there for 2 years announcing it's a parks highway. There are four of them. They're also on Hager Road, on Lakeford Street. What is the other one? But there are three different intersections. And the ones that aren't up for Cushman and places beyond are already made and ready to put up. So again, if you want to change the name, that's again, I have felt that the people who are insisting on pursuing this in the face of very obvious, legitimate public opposition are showing that their private interests are much should override the public interest. And this is true in the financial aspect of it, because the signs all have to come down. The ad that I saw that was paid for by Gary Wilton and Bruce about this hearing, by the way, I was not pleased with that. First, there was no public announcement of this meeting at all. If people saw that, and I'm sure that all of the people who were concerned about naming it for Mitchell had been notified, they knew. There was no time listed in that ad, only a date. There was no phone listed for the legislative office to call. And as you know, the pages in the Fairbanks book are not easy to find the legislative office. Most people can't find it unless they're customary, come down here for other reasons. There was no notice that the office had changed. You know, they changed location within the last 3 weeks. So this obviously was not designed to get opposition to this. I wonder where the money's coming from for this lobbying, by the way. It's all personal interest group. If there's any legislative money in it, I've heard there's a strong lobbying in general for it. And obviously these are all friends, or are they legislative?
Ms. Baker, I would like to answer that question right away. I can assure you there's no state money into a lobbying effort.
Okay, that's all right. Let's keep going here. But the people who have to fight it are people who are really dedicated to the public interest and have to scrape up their money and valuable time. And as I say, I think the reasons explained sort of take care of themselves. Those people pushing it are for private. And again, you know, the people
Baker,
in a position where we have to talk against Mr. Mitchell. Nobody wants to talk against him.
Ms. Baker.
That's the idea. There is, by the way, in Anchorage, they settled this very nicely for the Martin Luther King business. Again, down here,
really?
Similar, people were afraid to pitch against this because you were called racist.
Ms. Baker.
Yes.
Could you limit your testimony to some extent? We have quite a few people to go through, and we're going to be in a point where we're in a real time crunch.
Park in that area, and maybe the sponsors, the people who want to have the name, could help pay for a little park where tourists could pull off the side of the road and orient themselves for Fairbanks. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Joe Tremorel? One moment. Representative Springer has a comment.
Yeah, Ms. Baker, we do have the testimony from the public hearing March 27th, 1986, including your testimony in the committee record here. And we've been reading through all the remarks that were made at that time.
And
so,
there's other people there, too.
Pardon me?
Other people at that same meeting, I think, were.
Yeah, we have all the testimony from all the people who were there, including the people that testified against it.
Okay. I was just under the opinion earlier that that was not released to people down there.
No.
No, we have a verbatim transcript of that specific meeting if you refer to the 1986 meeting on March 27th. That's the one Senator Cargill chaired.
All right. Thank you, Representative Springer. Let's go on to Joe Tremorel. Come on, Joe.
Joe Tremorello.
1961.
Moose Trail Muskox subdivision, and I have an opportunity to travel a lot, and I don't get confused when I'm in the States on the on name changes. I've been a 40-year resident of Fairbanks. I knew Bob Mitchell. I don't belong to any particular group that was beat out of the trees to get here. I'm doing this on my own volition. Bob, not only did he contribute a lot to the community in terms of construction and this type of thing, I'm here basically because I feel it would be a great honor for his family. In particular, the support that he gave to young people in terms of anywhere from athletics to what have you, he was always there to help our young people. And I just wanted to come on my own and make this statement, and I believe people would go back and remember what he did for this area in particular and for the youth of Fairbanks, that it would be a great honor for him. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much, Joe. Let's go on then to Evelyn Melville.
My name's Evelyn Melville, and I live in the city of Zuni, vicinity of North Pole. I grew up in Fairbanks, and what I wanted to say is practically exactly what Alaska Link has said. I can remember Bob Mitchell because we lived in the same neighborhood when we were very small children, and I thoroughly enjoyed remembering what great fun it was knowing Bob and knowing the rest of his family and all the rest of the kids I played with. I remember Bob as a basketball player, and we all cheered like crazy for him. With all due respect to Bob and Mary and the family, I do not believe we should name a portion of the Park Highway for Bob. I would rather see the new sports center than the convention center named after Robert J. Mitchell. I think that would be great, and I'd like to see the folks go in that respect. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Evelyn. Let's go on then to Pete Egan.
Hello. My name is Pete Egan, 505 Illinois Street. Bob Mitchell was a good friend of my father's. They both grew up together here in Fairbanks, and I got to know him as a kid growing up in Fairbanks myself. Later on, I had the good fortune to work for him in his construction company, and as a result of that experience, I felt that I learned a tremendous amount about the value of hard work and integrity and just about life in general from Bob Mitchell. I can personally attest to his spirit and devotion to the community of Fairbanks that he, you know, grew up in, and to the inspiration that he provided for so many of us young people that were lucky enough to know him. I feel that the naming of this section of road would be a very fitting tribute to a pioneer Alaskan who worked so tirelessly to help develop this area of Fairbanks. And believe me, he was pretty tireless. As far as, you know, some of the points that have been brought up, Mitchell Raceway is named after Bob Mitchell, and that was done by a private group who chose to honor Bob in that way. And you know, I guess kind of a moot point, really. As far as Mitchell Street, I believe that is also named for Bob. It is just a little short subdivision street. You know, and those are also done by private groups, but then the streets themselves are dedicated, you know, to the borough or the city or what have you. But it is just a very short street, and it's not really specific unless you can actually know that it was named for Bob. As far as the confusion of the Parks Highway, I tend to agree with Gary Wilkins. The Parks Highway, to me, connects Fairbanks and Anchorage, and most tourists or whoever that are driving the highway either get off at Geist Road or at Airport Road and go on into Fairbanks. To me, the Parks Highway should not continue on and bypass Fairbanks. It should connect Fairbanks and Anchorage and there. I really don't think that we can compare Fairbanks to some of these, you know, huge metropolitan areas out in the States where you got, you know, hundreds of, you know, off-ramps and bypasses and this and that. I just don't think it's going to be that confusing. And I tend to look at this just as a, you know, a connector that would connect the Parks Highway to the Richardson Highway. And I really don't believe that it's going to be too confusing at all. And so anyway, I would support this wholeheartedly, that we honor Bob Mitchell in this way. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. Let's go on then to Angie Gergenberg. Excuse me, my trifocals beat up on me.
Hi, Betty. Thank you for letting me take the time. I believe that Mr. Mitchell is a very honorable person and has done many, many things for this area. Being here only 15 years, I did not have the personal opportunity to know him personally. I am opposed to this changing the name. I believe that the Parks Highway should remain as is. I've always believed in keep it simple, stupid, and this is to keep it simple. You leave that highway the same name all the way through, and it will be a simple procedure is much more cost effective all the way from the time that you legislators are using, I don't know how many $100, $1,000 an hour to talk about this bill, but it seems to me like we have a lot more important things for the economy of this state to be dwelling on rather than to be naming a highway that is already named. I would just want to thank you for letting me express my thoughts on this piece of legislation. Thank you, Betty.
Thank you, Angie. Let's go on then to Mark Ringstad.
My name is Mark Ringstad. I live at 502 Monroe Street, Fairbanks. I support the Bob Mitchell Expressway for the new expressway named the new highway. Bob Mitchell was one of the earliest and longest freight haulers over interior highways we've had. Historically, in Alaska, highways have been named after people connected with the highways, and I don't think you could find a person today more connected with the highways in interior Alaska than Bob Mitchell. I support that Bob Mitchell Expressway for that name of the new highway. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Georgianne Frank?
My name is Georgianne Frank, and I reside at 698 Darrell Drive, Fairbanks. And I'm here to testify in favor of renaming the portion of highway in question for Robert Mitchell. And I'd like to reiterate what some of the Gary Wilkin and Joe Tremorillo and Pete Egan have said about Bob. And I also would like to read a short statement from my husband, Randall Frank, who cannot be here today. He says, I am very much in favor of renaming a portion of the Parks Highway between Airport Road and the Richardson Highway for Robert Mitchell. This man was like a second father to me. He was a visionary teacher, and his dreams for the South Fairbanks area are coming true. Robert Mitchell will long be remembered as an ardent promoter of the potential of the South Fairbanks area, even without a highway named after him. However, I think he should be properly honored for his efforts to make Fairbanks a better place to live. And back in the early 70s, I was working for the city of Fairbanks as a surveyor, putting in line for roads and water and sewer pipes. And early every morning, I remembered seeing Bob walking along Lathrop Street from his home on 10th Avenue over to Metro Field, where his office was, crossing right, going right across that area that's in question. And I feel that you couldn't find a more deserving person to name this portion of the highway after. Thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you very much. Harold Herning.
I'm Harold Herning. I've lived here in Fairbanks since 1936. I've known Bob ever since I came here. He's a very respectful person. And like it's been testified before, that Bob is probably the one of the first that really went into highway trucking. And he's... when you come down to the remark we made a little while ago that there was, he was more or less an inferior person to Parks and Steese and all the rest of them, he wasn't. He was far outranked. What do you get when you got a doggone governor? Look what we got now. So, they're not any more respectful than this man out here making his living by true honest means at all. The people that's done this are strictly, they're privileged down there. As far as Richardson and Steese and them, they weren't truly Alaskans at all. They weren't at all. And when you come down to the whole thing here is that we should go ahead then and name the thing the Alcan Highway, clear to Anchorage. Let's get rid of all the rest of these crummy names they got stuck on, Parks and the rest of them. Let's name it the Alcan Highway, clear to Anchorage. Or else let's name the Parks Highway clear to Southern California. And as far as it's a terminus here at Fairbanks, if it's come down to the point where it figures it's so little that it's, a road's got to run clear through it without changing the name, they're very, very narrow-minded. The highway, when it gets to Fairbanks, that's the end of the Parks Highway. When it leaves Fairbanks, that's the Richardson Highway. And these people that are doing this, this isn't the people, the majority of the people's feeling in Fairbanks at all. It's a little group here. A little group was opposing it. The major part of the Fairbanks opposed it 100%. And if you listen to a small group, it's like naming Mount McKinley. I was a ranger for Mount McKinley for 7 years. They come along and says, oh, it should be named Mount Denali. When I was a ranger at Mount McKinley, I was assigned to figure out what the name of that was. There was no name in the record of a Denali. It was Tenali. So they all got it completely wrong after me spending 4 years investigating it. It's the same way here now. It's what's the name here of Bob Mitchell going to hurt this town at all? It's just you might as well say, let's change every road in town then. It's all representing somebody, the one named after me too. Let's change it. Let's go ahead and name them all North South Street or Elk Street or some other name like that. Let's respect some of our people that's been here and spent their lives here. If you can go through the life here, you look back through, you'll find Ben Eielson. What was Ben Eielson? He didn't live here very long at all. Let's change Eielson Field. Let's change all of them. Let's come out at the end of it and say, let's give some respect to these people. I tell you, you'll never find a person with really the respect that's due that Bob Mitchell had due him. You can go through many, many people in this town, but he's the one that the kids looked up to, the whole trucking industry looked up to. And I think as far as my testimony goes is concerned, I uphold him 100%. And I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Herning, for your very eloquent testimony. We're going to have to call an end to the teleconference. I think we covered everybody that's there. So, eloquent the right word?
Send Cooper a transcript from there next time.
We don't mean to work it up there.
I'm just going to go ahead and take this down.
Okay. Good. You can have them.
Yeah, I understand that, Mike.
Discussion of the committee on the naming of the Robert J. Mitchell Expressway. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer?
Well, I think there wasn't anything really new in that testimony. It basically echoed what has been stated in previous testimony and is contained in the in the file. I think it's very hard for that committee to figure out what is really a majority statement or minority statement from the testimony we hear, and we don't know who organized whom. I think it's just a judgment call. I would support just moving it with individual recommendations and let it shake out.
For your information, I kept track, and there were 6 pro, 7 con. I wouldn't say that the testimony was rigged in any way.
Chair, I'd echo Representative Springer's comments here, because that is a problem we have when we're sitting down here trying to judge whether or not this is a consensus in the community. But what we do have in our records here is the fact that this has had a local hearing, and it has had a resolution come forward from the local public body that's elected by the people that are closest to the situation. So in my opinion, I would certainly agree and intend to support the resolution that's before us here.
All right. Representative Springer, did you wish to make a motion to that?
If the chair entertains that.
I will entertain it.
And I make a motion to pass the bill with individual recommendations.
Representative Springer has moved to pass the bill out with the individual recommendations. Are there any objections? Hearing none, so ordered. The next item on of business is HJR 52, opposing reductions in the budget of the United States Coast Guard. Do we have anybody in the audience that wishes to testify? Cliff, this is sponsored by Representative Davidson. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Chairwoman Cato. I appreciate the opportunity to discuss House Joint Resolution 52 with you, which opposes reductions in the United States Coast Guard budget. And thank you also for the early and expeditious scheduling of this resolution. Each of you, I think, have in your packet a copy of the front page of the Kodiak Mirror of January 18th of this year. It dramatically illustrates the need for House Joint Resolution 52. Coastal Alaska relies heavily on the United States Coast Guard for two main purposes: to save lives of loved ones, friends, and neighbors, and to enforce the Americanization of our fisheries in the EEZ and protect our nation's coastline. House Joint Resolution 2052 addresses lives and livelihoods. After the initial furor over the Coast Guard cuts, you may have read a few headlines which imply that the proposed cuts would not be severe enough to jeopardize the Coast Guard services offered to Alaska. But this is simply not true. The proposed cuts are a result of the Graham-Rudman Amendment, which cuts budgets in increments. Coast Guard personnel fear that this year's proposed $100 million cut could happen again next year and the year after that. You need to send a strong message to the people in Washington, D.C. that these proposed cuts are totally unacceptable, and House Joint Resolution 52 does just that. It educates, it illustrates the need for the Coast Guard's mission in Alaska, and asks for budget reconsiderations for the Coast Guard's vital and unique mission in Alaska. Again, I would like to thank you for this opportunity, and I would appreciate your favorable action on this resolution. If you have more specific or further questions, Captain Moncrief of the Coast Guard is with us, and I'm sure we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I would like to make a statement. Thank you, Representative Davidson. Earlier in the year, we faced a cut that might have taken the plane tree out of Juneau and the Sweetbriar out of Cordova. I strongly objected to that because of the tremendous tanker traffic and the tremendous action of Prince William Sound. I heartily support this resolution. I think it's about time that the Congress recognized that Alaska has the largest coastline of any state in the Union, and that we're just kind of tired of being last on the totem pole, to make it ethnic or whatever. That's just my statement. Are there any questions we need to ask of the captain?
Yes, I'd like
yes. to. Yes, okay, Representative.
Captain, would you come up to the table at the line? Madam Chair?
Yes.
Perhaps while we have you here, Captain, you can give us a rundown on where this whole thing is at the present time. I understand that there has been some reconciliation from the first go-around and cuts.
Actually, as far as the $100 million goes, there hasn't really been any change. The cut list that you refer to has been modified somewhat, but the possibility still exists that the plane tree could go and the Sweetbriar could relocate. It's dependent on a couple of actions back in the Congress. One, that during this fiscal year that the Congress permit redistribution of monies within the Department of Transportation so that the Coast Guard could recoup some of the monies that were lost. And the second is that the Congress support the President's fiscal year 89 budget. The Commandant and the Secretary of Transportation have met with the President and have been assured that the President's budget will support the Coast Guard at the levels that we need to operate for 89. So if that is also supported by the Congress, then we'll be in much better shape. If not, then some of these cuts that were on the original list could come back. As far as monies for this year, we in the 17th District in Alaska are still in about the same position. We've cut back in a number of areas, and some of the larger ones are indicated in the joint resolution here. And except for the elimination of the six VHF sites, that's pretty much unchanged. We have decided not to eliminate those. They will continue in operation. Actually, to give you a little bit more information on that particular item, when we originally put that information out, it was in the form of a proposal. We were proposing to eliminate those as a means of saving money, and had thought that those particular sites did not receive as much utilization as some of the other sites. And the reason we went out with the public notices was to gather information to see if we were in fact correct, and it turned out we were not. So we decided not to close those down. We haven't determined where we're going to come up with the additional money to continue to operate those, but we'll probably end up cutting something else someplace else. Don't continue.
Just to follow on, I've been at least pursuing this on the periphery, I guess, because of Coast Guard happens to be my alma mater. I'm a retired Coast Guard commander myself, so I might have a vested interest here. But I think the record should show, at any rate, that the Commandant did consider the 17th uniqueness. As I understand it, at any rate, we took a lesser cut here than we have that the other districts have taken. Is that correct, or did I hear that wrong?
The final cut list that came out, when compared to the initial ones, we took a very light hit. Yeah. Most of the items that were on for Alaska were dropped off. In fact, the only reduction that remained on that particular list was the reduction in people up to Valdez, and that's going to be reduced by seven people that will not appreciably affect the operation.
But
this is
the economy.
Just to follow up, Madam Chair, this is a really a
something that we're going to have to get across. I know the commandant understands it because, you know, he was stationed up here for quite a number of years. And I know that Admiral Nelson works his head off to try to maintain strength and support in the 17th District here. I don't know if it's a voting situation or what it is, but we're going to have to keep pummeling away at these people to make them realize that we are, in some extent, the first line of defense, not only for the Coast Guard, but for the maritime fleet altogether up into here. And I just want you to know that I'm sure this committee, at any rate, strongly supports the Coast Guard, and we know that you guys are trying to do everything they're asking you to do with less money. We appreciate it.
We appreciate your support. I'd like to add one additional thing, if I can. We talked about the cut list, which has been reduced, so it doesn't impact the state too much. But we're also, in addition to that particular cut list, we're facing a reduction in our budget, which has caused some of the other smaller things. So the fact that the cut list only affects Valdez right now is not the whole picture. We in Alaska, our budget for the year has been cut almost 20%. So we've had to streamline our operations and cut back a lot of things that you may not see, but do directly impact the way we do business and that sort of stuff. So we still need the support, and we still need the money restored to us to operate the way we think we should.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Chairman Cato. I was wondering if perhaps we might want to eliminate then on line 25, the number 3, elimination of 6 VHF. Do you think it's important that we take that out since these are not going to be cut, or would it be better to leave them in case that they come back as forced cuts again?
I don't think they will come back, but I don't think it will cause any harm to leave it in if you choose.
Okay. And the other thing, Madam Chair, if I may, the reorganization, when we lost a large part of the Coast Guard last year, I understand, as it was explained to me, that the discretionary funding for the Coast Guard within the state of Alaska has been severely affected by the loss of different units. And that also, I think, affects in a very negative way the ability of the Coast Guard to move funds around to get the job done. So I would urge action on this resolution so that we can get the word back there to let these people know that the Coast Guard in Alaska does have a very unique and vital mission.
All right, the chairman would entertain a motion for that action.
Madam Chair,
Representative.
I move House Joint Resolution number 52 out with unanimous recommendations.
Any objection?
Thank
great.
You,
one note for the committee. I was talking to the Admiral, and he does try to save whenever he can. He's been jerking phones out like crazy down there to save the $20 a month phone bill on phones that aren't utilized a great deal. I mean, gee, would you save that way? We have before us SJR 54 and its sponsor, Senator Sturgiolowski. Senator Sturgiolowski, would you join us, please?
Madam Chairman, thank you for taking up SJR 54. It expresses support for the Alaska Airlines application for approval to fly to Siberia. And I think you do have a complete packet, but I'd like to know this. It's kind of rare when we get 20 of the senators co-sponsoring or prime sponsor. So everybody's there, and it did pass unanimously to the floor. Kind of an interesting history at the recent summit. President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev talked about expansion of air service between the U.S. and the Soviet Union, and Senator Murkowski really worked with Alaska Airlines in terms of their application. As you know, previously, some years ago, back in the early 70s, there was the flight between Alaska and Siberia, and there were a number of reasons why that was dropped. And it is the intention. There have actually been state department level discussions with the Soviet counterpart that have been undertaken, and there's hope that this issue will actually at the summit, they talked in the broader terms, and it was down at the working level that the specific was mentioned about the potential of a route going to Providencia. They will be discussing it, though, at the high level, and hope to have this issue resolved by the time of the summit. And that's very unusual, because normally these kinds of things in terms of the air routes take many, many years. But on the positive side, and I think this is all positive, there's been some talk of making kind of a special tour that, for instance, they could tie in Sitka as a former Russian capital city. Nome, as I understand, is excited because it means that they would go through Anchorage, the flights, but Nome is excited because they might get the tourists, and they're somewhere between 12 and 15,000 that go to Nome, might stay an extra night, and that could mean a great deal. And then the trip to Providencia, someone did say that was perhaps Providencia was not the most exciting destination spot in the world, but it has at least the romance of Russia. And so anyhow, I think this is a positive thing, could add to the tourism. Alaska Airlines is the only firm that has approached for a route, so we're not favoring one business over another. I would feel very nervous about that. So with that, I'd respond to questions. Would be very happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions, Senator Lewis? Representative Springer?
Well, needless to say, I'm in full support of that resolution in principle, and the whole thing in principle. I have a little bit of a concern, though, that the same thing happens again what happened before. You've got a carrier like Alaska Airlines, and even though the name implies Alaska, the profits end up in Seattle. And I'm a little bit concerned. I think originally, when Mr. Stimpley and some of the known people started to work on it, it was envisioned that local air service could provide the connection. We have some local carriers like Cape Smyth and Bering Air and Ryan, if they get back in the business, and Olsen and so on, that they would be allowed with their small twin-engine type planes to provide that type of a service. And that would be definitely a boon into the local economy because of the obvious advantages from an economic standpoint. Does that detract from that in any way?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. As I say, I wanted to be sure that there were not competing applications, and apparently this one is on the fast track. Alaska Airlines, Mark Air, others have, it's a question we could ask, have entered into arrangements for people to use their routes and carry them. And I mean, you could, for instance, the way your ticket is, you although it's Alaska Air, you might end up on going on ERA, or you might even end up on going on Mark Air. Now, that's something we could certainly check out. I have no problem as to as to whether they could, in fact, then utilize charters. I don't want to tell you they can or they can't. But again, they're the only ones that have applied. And what they're foreseeing, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's starting it. What they're planning is that they would not do this until next year, so they'd have a year to work on those charters. Because it's just because they're there doesn't mean they're going to be successful. And they're looking at just two flights a week on Saturday and Sunday. So I don't think, when you're dealing, it's just like we're dealing with this issue on the high seas fishery issue. It's not, it takes a long time for these things to go through, and I think this may be the pioneer part of it. So I would hope we could encourage this and certainly look for expansion.
Madam Chair, as a follow-up, my concern is not with that resolution. I think it's great to get it off. My concern is when you have a carrier. Now, we have deregulation in this country, but I'm just not knowledgeable enough with international routes. After a carrier gets it one, does that give them then, like before the deregulation, a semi-exclusive right to that route, and other people or other carriers couldn't get in unless they get an agreement with the prime carrier? That's what I'm concerned about. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hudson is next.
Do you know, Senator, if the question I was wondering is that if
does this provide sort of like a sole source type of a thing? I don't think it does it?
Well, the negotiations are sole source in that this is the way the routes are handled in the destination. They're at a high level. For instance, even JAL wanting to come in, that gets into worldwide negotiations to be able to change where a carrier goes. This one is very unique in terms that it was spotlighted as between the heads of two major nations that they wanted to open it up. My feeling is that if one of the local carriers came in, if they were not in on a fast track like this, they would go into the problem that we're having getting a destination carrier to come just to here. I understand from that process, and we've looked at that a bit, you are all of a sudden finding you're competing on a national level, international level, with between different flights. So I think we have a very unique opportunity. I would have no objection before the bill goes to the floor that we investigate that and I talk to Senator Murkowski so I can get some specifics on it. But my feeling is this is a chance to get someone in that it's good for us whenever we can get those linkages so that others can come along. That I feel very strongly on that, but would be very happy to check out to specifically answer Representative Springer your question.
Representative Pierce?
I was just going to follow up, Madam Chairman, that's my understanding. Also, when they start trying to figure out how the international routes are going to go, it becomes kind of a big card game between Washington and Moscow. And what might happen is Alaska might get the flight rights, and in trade for that, Elkhart gets to fly somewhere from Washington to Dallas or something. And then if Marcair goes in and tries to also get rights, then they'll have to do another trade-off somewhere. It's a tit-for-tat sort of thing on an international scale.
Yeah, that's been our problem and why it's difficult to get it in. This one, of course, is a special approach.
Well, another concern was the other direction, like Representative Drew Pierce said, that was my understanding too, that how international routes are handled.
Right.
It's not necessarily a geographically located exchange. It can be global. But I'm also concerned if it gets too large scale. You know what happened in the early 60s, I think it was, when Alaska Airlines was flying to Khabarovsk. And then it didn't pan out economically because it was pretty large scale and it was suspended pretty fast. And the same thing I could envision here, if you get exclusive rights and they're looking at 727s or jet service, Providentia is a novelty, but I suspect once you've been there, you probably don't have great desire to go back right away.
You may not want to even go the first time.
Well, I think you want to go the first time, but what I'm saying is there's maybe not the economic base for a large-scale operation on a sustained basis. And that would, if, for example, Bering Air as a contract carrier could utilize Alaska Airlines permit, fine. You know, then they can take a small Navajo or something like that. If the pressure isn't there, the tourist pressure isn't there, and adjust it on that type of a basis. While if it gets pretty rigidly set up as a carrier, and they have monopoly situations, then they may decide to suspend it pretty fast again.
Representative Beard, did you have an answer?
Yeah, one benefit of this might be, Representative Springer, you know, throughout the state of Alaska, the bush areas want to be more involved in tourism and not just the centers of the bush. I consider, because we know Bethel Valley to be transportation centers for the bush, but the smaller villages are looking at bed breakfast and the tourists in the villages, and I would expect that you could sell an award for the date to a tourist the fact that he or she could take a trip, come to know, go on to Russia, spend what looks like maybe 45 minutes or maybe 4 hours, come back. It would be ever so much easier for you to them get them to jump on off to whatever the next stop is going to be. So Bering Air and Nome Air and all the other airs might find themselves a lot busier because they've got more tourists coming to Nome in the first place. It'd be that kind of benefit. I suspect you're going to see Alaska want to take jets in and out because I don't think anybody wants to get a piston engine stuck in Russia. We might never get a plane back. It's just suggesting more maintenance for it.
Jerry, I was just going to suggest that I think Senator Sergelewski and I ought to go over and check out Providentia first to, you know, just make sure it's okay.
I think that would be very inappropriate if Representative Springer were not
you need an interpreter, right?
You also need the chairman of the transportation.
Well, all right, there we are.
We have a full committee.
I'll fly. Who wants to go?
I'll go.
Are there any other questions or remarks, or is there anyone that wishes to testify on this? Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Jim Stemple.
Yes.
I'm with the Nome Chamber of Commerce Committee for Cooperation, Commerce, and Peace. And about last year, I approached Alaska Airlines talking about this project, that they should go ahead and apply for this route, and they did. And I'm very gratified that they took the initiative, took me serious that this market was coming. And I support Senator Sturgeon-Lewski's resolution supporting Alaska Airlines bid for this commercial service. In the year and a half that I've worked on this project, I've come to learn a lot about air rights, and I've made a few phone calls to the State Department and talked with the Department of Transportation. And there's two issues we're working with. One is the commercial rights, and that goes through DOT, and it's a bilateral civil aeronautics agreement. We have one in effect right now between Pan Am and Aeroflot. And it's a very exclusive contract between New York and Moscow. What Alaska Airlines is doing is applying for another very exclusive right, which is good. I believe that's very good, because I think the Soviets want to deal with one entity. They're not accustomed to this free market enterprise system that we let everybody in to. So they like to deal with one entity and arrange some type of profit sharing arrangement. The other issue, like Henry's talking about, are the local air carriers, which I'm very supportive of going in. But realistically, getting local air carriers to go in is going to be tough to do on a commercial basis. Now, what we can do with the local air carriers is get them in on the Soviet air entry requirements for non-scheduled commercial flights. And I have copies of those agreements from the State Department sent to me, because we're playing these friendship flights from Nome to Providentia as a prelude to the beginning of this commercial service. And we're inviting Alaska Airlines to participate with an aircraft, if possible, depending on the numbers, or with Bering Air. I met with the Alaska State Chamber Executive Board today. They are supporting our Nome to Providentia project with both a statewide committee and a national committee to focus more attention on it. The non-scheduled commercial aircraft requirements in the Soviet Union are very specific. The Soviets want a 3-week notice, and they want a designated aircraft. They want who's on board, aircraft channel, things like this. So we're going to submit that information to them. They have an approved list of entry airports that you can go into. They want a Soviet navigator on board. And of course, Providentia is not on the list. So there's some technical problems with this that Alaska Airlines has to face, and that we have to face on getting the charter flights in. And I don't think we're competing with each other, with Alaska Airlines on the commercial route and the non-charter route. That's a different area we're working on too. So just to clarify that, the bill, as the resolution as it stands, I think is good. It's written good. If you wanted to make and, you know, add something with non-scheduled commercial rights into it, I don't think it's necessary at this time. But I realize that things can go very fast here, because we are on a very fast track. Secretary of State Schultz is going to Moscow February 26th to discuss the summit agenda. We have sent out another flurry of letters with Senator Sturgeon-Lewski's bill, you know, supporting this and supporting our friendship, get acquainted flights, so that we can go over in small groups as Alaskans to introduce ourselves. So we feel that this will make Alaska Airlines bid much stronger for the commercial route. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative
Hudson? Chair, I think it's entirely pertinent for the record to acknowledge what I think has been superior work on your part, Jim, and the
city of Nome. I followed this in the paper, and I didn't recognize you because I hadn't met you before, but I think all of us really think it's just it's tremendous the way you've grabbed onto this thing, and I hope that this resolution will make it work for you.
Any more discussion on the resolution? If not, the chair would entertain a motion to move it out of committee.
Yes, sir.
Representative Pierce has moved to move SJR 54 out of committee. Is that with individual?
I'd make it with unanimous recommendation.
With unanimous recommendation.
Yes.
Any objections? If not, so ordered. Thank you, Senator.
Wish we could solve our other little problem for simply. Thank you very much.
I hope we do. Is there any further business coming before the committee? If not, committee adjourns, and I have 1 minute to three.
Henry, where's Robert Denia?
Robert Denia is right over here.
Where is that?
I have any idea where it is.
That's right, no.
Oh, thank you.
That's what he came in to tell me.
Oh,
your son commended you.
No, I didn't know. So I was riding all the time.
Yeah, a little while ago. Quite a while ago.
Yeah, that's what he needed.
That on the entrance.
Good deal.
Drupotsky.
Oh, hell, I got to go across the road.
And they can listen to more bitches.
What's going on this time?
House Bill 1 public hearing.
Oh, shit. Are we going to pass it out?
Well, it's just a public hearing. It's and next week's the same thing.
Do I have to come listen to her?
Well, you can disappear real fast
okay.
I just need a quarter.
Okay, baby. I'll